Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the ice surface at MTS Center. We welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast, joined by analyst Richard Pollock, producer Michael Remus. I'm your host, Drew Mandel.
What about last show, Drew? You were the host and analyst.
I know. I was an all-around bon vivant, if you actually listen to the podcast. I was multitasking last on Sunday as you guys were away, and much like Sunday's game, where the Winnipeg Jets gave up a goal in the final 30 seconds to lose, they give up a goal in the final 3-4 minutes tonight at the 16:14 mark to be exact, and fall to the visiting New York Rangers by a 3-2 margin. Another tough loss for the Winnipeg Jets, who are in the dogfight of the Western Conference wild card race. Still 2 points up on the idle Los Angeles Kings, but the Kings do now have a game in hand, and the Winnipeg Jets no longer control their own destiny when it comes to the playoff spots in the Western Conference.
Yeah, I'm trying to think right now, Drew, because if they were to run the table and win all five games,
they would have to beat Calgary. But they'd have to be in regulation.
Yes, that's right.
If Calgary went 4-0-1 and the Jets went 5-0, Calgary would get in based on the tiebreaker.
Right.
Yes, so the Jets do control their own destiny if they were to run the table and beat Calgary in regulation time on Saturday, April the 11th. But
if Calgary went 5-0, you mean, and the Jets went 5-0, they have to beat him in regulation.
Well, Calgary couldn't go 5-0.
Well, into that game, I mean.
Yes, if the Jets were 4-0 and Calgary was 4-0 going into that game, the Jets would have to win in regulation, whereas Calgary would just need
6 games left, though.
No, Calgary's got 5 left.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. 5 including. Okay,
that's right. So that final game, the Jets would have to win in regulation,
that's
whereas
exactly right, yeah.
Calgary would just need to get that 1 point.
So Drew, that's obviously relevant now, so we need to address that the Jets do have 5 games left, you're right. And tonight's game, the Jets came out like a house on fire, and I thought they really took it to the Rangers in the first period.
Mm-hmm.
But you leave that first period when we'll go through the goals, but you leave that first period tied. And, you know, it's one of those things where you look back at it, and I know the Jets had 2 leads in this game, and they blew 2 leads. The biggest thing for me is they didn't get out of that first period with a lead, if not a 2-goal lead.
Sure.
And that was their best hockey. I mean, I think after that it was pretty even. You know, the Jets, I think overall for the course of the night, had better sustained pressure off the cycle, but the Rangers were better and more dangerous off the rush.
Well, the speed the Rangers bring to game is remarkable. We've seen some fast teams. The Jets themselves are a fast team.
Yeah, and the Rangers scared them out of the building.
Yeah.
For sure. There's no question. And the last goal, we'll break that down. But there's not. You know, you have top-notch speed on the wings on this team. That's the thing. It's not up the middle.
Mm-hmm.
They're slow up the middle, but it's because Moore and Broussard really skate. But it's that wing speed. It's like it's on you so quick.
Yeah.
And it kind of negates the Jets' back-end mobility because they're on you so quick. You don't have the time to get geared up. I thought overall the Rangers, a team who struggled lately losing to LA, I saw them play on Saturday, got just annihilated by Boston. Sunday, I didn't see the game, but they were tied 2-2, lose 5-2 to the Capitals. Good teams generally don't go on these massive losing streaks. And the Rangers were back on their heels. And they played a game of a team that went to the finals last year, that they didn't panic.
Yeah.
They kept the play pretty simple. And I really thought that Henrik Lundqvist, after about, because the first goal was a bad goal, and we'll talk about it. After about the 10-minute mark, Henrik Lundqvist went from a guy who was injured for a month and a half or whatever it was, and a guy who did not look good when he returned in terms of his performance. Of course, he returned on Saturday.
Right.
He didn't look comfortable. Within 10 minutes of tonight's game, he went from looking awkward to looking in the zone. And you could see the Rangers fed off of that as well. So there's a few factors here, but the Jets lost to a good team tonight. I mean, you know, the fashion in which they've lost the past 2 games, it's not as if you wonder, Drew, is a 4-1 and 3-1 loss
less painful?
Less painful.
Sure.
And I don't know. You never know about that, because you lose, sometimes you can say you lose a 4-1 game, but you toss out the window,
and
you forget about it. These games you can't forget about. You heard the Jets talk about it yesterday. I mean, we're going to put it behind us. You know, it's a tough, but they didn't. When you're talking about it, I know they were asked questions about it. You could tell the way they were addressing the questions, they were still bothered by it. Now, did that carry over tonight's game? We don't know that. We're not in the room, and they're never going to admit it anyways. But I thought there was a little bit of trepidation in that third period. But they came out, I thought, and then I thought they took a foot off the pedal, and I thought, testament to the Rangers as well. But they looked a little bit cautious there, and, maybe playing for the point.
I don't disagree with you, but I'm not sure that on the Rangers' winning goal that it was a cautiousness that cost the Jets there so much. It was just the Rangers' skill on that play.
I don't disagree.
But I see what you're saying. They certainly didn't.
They weren't
the same team you saw in the first 10 minutes of the game as they were in the last 10 minutes of the game.
I just didn't think that their best players. You want to simplify it.
Yeah.
Best players, one of the best players tonight.
That's a fair point. Let's get into the goals that we saw tonight. The Jets opened the scoring at the 3:16 mark. Jim Slater with his fourth of the year. Assist to Chris Thorburn and Jiří Tlusty. The Jets' newly formed fourth line, now that they're back healthy up front, cashes in early. Like you said, this is a weak goal on Henrik Lundqvist. Really, just Slater sort of takes a weak shot from the side.
Yeah, it's not a good goal. The shot itself is something that Henrik Lundqvist probably saves when he's more comfortable later in the game even.
Yeah.
Slater gets it from Thorburn. Of course, you're getting your fourth line going, as you mentioned, Drew. The real play starts because Keith Yana loses his stick.
Right.
And when Keith Yana loses his stick, he's not able to man up on the rush. And the Jets, Slater and Thorburn, Thorburn escaped pretty well for a big guy, but Slater's not the fastest guy. And the pressure, they got on quickly, and Yana was running around. Hunwick is not your strongest defenseman. And Yandel tries to take away kind of the angle, but he's not able to do it. So Slater knows he is free to kind of make a play. Hanowick, who's his support, Yandel's on the other side, basically, of Slater, the wrong side, can't use a stick to get in the way. Hanowick's trying to take away the pass. Slater shoots the puck, and Lundqvist should save it. But it's one of those plays where the Jets identified Yandel, no stick, pressure him. A smart play.
Sure.
Came up, and it was actually a smart goal. Slater's... He's a smart player.
Yeah.
He's not necessarily able to affect everything he wants to do.
He's lost the speed that he once had and the effectiveness that came with it. But you're right. He's still got the intelligence of a smart player.
It's not like he's skating that poorly. I just feel like he's lost that little bit of the groin injuries or the injuries of the leg seems to have taken away a little bit of that edge. But, you get off the you get him off the schneid. I mean, Slater's only fourth goal of the year.
Yeah. He did score in Montreal as well. Second in three games.
Yeah, against Montreal, you mean.
Against Montreal.
But what I'm saying, is you get the fourth line going, get the crowd into it and all that stuff.
The Jets, it was few and far between the times when the Jets would get fourth line scoring earlier this year. Now they're at full strength.
Yep.
They probably expect a little bit more from their fourth line. The Jets were dominant in the first 10 minutes of the game, just peppering, with really good scoring chances. They could never get that second goal to get that two-goal lead. And as you mentioned earlier when we started the podcast, the Rangers tie it up at the 9:42 mark of the first period. Matt Zuccarello, his 15th of the year, assist to Rick Nash and Derek Brassard. A lot of similarities between this goal and the goal that Andrew Shaw scored to open the scoring on Sunday, in that he's in front of the net, it sort of hits him, and then he's able to turn and fire and score.
Yeah, I thought this line was good tonight.
Yes.
Nash had his moments for sure. Derek Brassard, I thought, was the best player for the Rangers. At forward, at least. Mm-hmm. And Brassard comes out of the corner. I believe it was Little kind of on him, and he kind of turned the corner from the... So right side, if you're going left to right, Rangers are in the offensive zone going left to right, and Brassard comes out of the right corner as a left-handed shot center. And he beats Little off the boards. And what he does is he makes a pass to Nash in the high slot. Nash notices, a smart player, shoots, gets a lot of shots on net, he's a scorer. He notices, that Zuccarello's going in the net, fires a shot on net, kind of for a rebound, I thought.
Yeah.
And Zuccarello's able to beat Mark Stewart to the net. And he's able to put in, I think, the rebound.
I don't even think it actually got all the way to Pavlik. Yeah. I thought Zuccarello himself sort of blocked it, just sort of coming across the front of the crease there. I think you want to see Mark Stewart tie up Zuccarello better. Zuccarello's a small guy.
No, 100%. He's got to tie him up. But one of the things also, if you watch the goal again, Brassard, when he comes off the boards, I believe it's Andrew Ladd that comes. So he draws two guys to him to open up. And when you do that, you open up more space. And so he draws two guys to him, Ladd and Little, and he makes the pass out to Nash. And because of that, sure, Nash is going in the offensive zone the other way from where Brassard is, but the difference is that when you have two guys collapse, that means Ladd can't help.
Sure.
And when Ladd can't help, there's less pressure on the play. Nash is able to kind of get the puck on net a little more freely. And I thought it was kind of a simple play, and the Jets do this a lot. Simple play, put the puck on net,
good things happen.
And I thought that was an effective play. But again, Brassard really keyed that one.
That's it for the scoring in the first 20 minutes of the game. 1-1 after 20 minutes. The Jets were the better of the two teams for the majority of the first period, but the Rangers did get their legs behind them as the period went on. The Rangers, should point out, third game in four nights with travel here. They had played Saturday and Sunday afternoon, and then again tonight. Not, you know, saying, just pointing it out for the record.
Boston, Washington. Boston and then home to the Washington.
That's right.
But, yeah, Drew, that's a fair point.
Yeah. Jets regain the one-goal lead. It comes at the 1:24 mark of the second period. Lee Stempniak with his 12th of the year, assist to Matthew Perreault and Adam Lowry. Real nice shot here by Stempniak to go top shelf glove hand on Lundqvist.
Plays all Adam Lowry, though, because Adam Lowry keys the forecheck, gets in off of Ryan McDonagh. Ryan McDonagh, who's a top defenseman in the National Hockey League, he forces a turnover. And when he forces a turnover, Lowry quickly, not only forces a turnover, gets the puck off of the turnover.
Sure.
When the bad pass is made, and makes a quick pass to Perreault on the left side, where he's so comfortable this year.
Mm-hmm.
In general, he's pretty comfortable there, although especially on the left wing, as opposed to playing center like he has in the past. And McDonagh kind of gets lost again. He makes the turnover, then he kind of floating a bit. And Stempniak, Perreault reads Stempniak coming as a trailer, 3-on-2. And although McDonagh should have been a little more involved there, kind of seemed thrown off by the turnover. Stempniak steps in, nice shot. He's got a good shot. And as a trailer, nice pass by Perreault. And again, Lowry keys it, forechecks, makes the first pass, goes, you know, drives to the net, and great play. You know, quick. That's the thing about getting in on the forecheck that Lowry really does well, is he's really aggressive, and he's big, and he's tough, and he forces people to make plays. You know, kind of a Kings-like player.
Probably the Jets' best forward tonight.
I thought he was very good.
Yeah.
I thought he was excellent.
You know, playing well beyond his years, mm-hmm. given that this is his rookie season.
For sure.
And he's such an integral part of the Jets' forward group. Rangers tie it up. Comes on the power play at the 10:13 mark of the second period. Derek Brassard with his 17th of the year. Assist to Ryan McDonagh and Keith Yandle. Not credited on the score sheet, but an assist has to go to Rick Nash for the screen he provided in front of Andre Pavlik.
Absolutely, Drew. Nash provided a great screen there. It goes around the horn. The Rangers move the puck to the outside. And, you know, I'll tell you, Keith Yandle, the Rangers want him to shoot more. That's been one of the criticisms of him. And I certainly have issues with his defensive game. But boy, he looks awfully comfortable on that top power play unit. And sure. Then you look at it, and they don't even have Marty St. Louis in there tonight.
That's right. He's still out of lineup. Expect to be back on Thursday, I think.
But Yando really did make that power play. I thought worked the puck around real well. So this goes around the horn.
Mm-hmm.
Goes Yando to McDonagh, who he's been partnered with on the power play there, partnered with tonight. I haven't seen the Rangers play a ton. I saw him play Boston. And the puck goes over to Brassard. So Brassard's actually on his strong side. The puck gets over to Brassard. And when you're on your strong side, you have to change the angle. He changes the angle, and Myers kind of comes up to him, and I think it was Wheeler who didn't help. Wheeler didn't help, which is, I think what the Jets want is Myers to rotate out. And Myers kind of rotates out, and Brassard lines up for the slap shot. Myers kind of flamingos a bit, and I think the Jets probably want him to use his reach and get in the lane a little more, block the shot, and if not block it with his legs, block it with his stick.
Sure.
And the puck gets through. It's a beautiful shot. Blocker over the right shoulder, Andre Pavlik's right shoulder. Beautiful shot.
Short side in this case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although from a pretty square angle, Drew. Like not from outside the hash marks.
No.
Pretty square angle.
Right at the top of the circle, pretty much.
And a good shot. Brassard had a couple good shots that Pavlik robbed him on, a couple good wrist shots today. That was a slap shot, though, and it gets through. And, you know, again, taking penalties and letting teams into the game.
Yeah, this was a penalty called on Matthew Perreault for an interference penalty.
I didn't love the call, to be honest with you.
No, but it sort of happened. Yeah. It was well behind the play, sort of. Yeah. By. I thought it was more of a mix-up, a collision by the Jets.
Called it immediately, though. Very demonstrative of his call.
So he must have. The ref obviously made.
I mean, it was intentionally. Don't get me wrong. He certainly intended to interfere and hit him high.
Yeah.
But the call was interference, and I thought, you know, you see that quite a bit during the game. So.
Nothing happened in the third period in terms of goals until the Rangers got the winning goal, and we'll talk about it in a second. Jiří Tolusti had a good opportunity with a wrist shot sort of in the mid-slot, and it looked like a sort of combination of Henrik Lundqvist getting a toe on it and maybe it also deflecting off the post. Maybe even Lundqvist didn't touch it. But that was the Jets' really probably best scoring opportunity in the third period.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they were creating some off the rush.
Yeah.
Sorry, off the cycle, excuse me, not off the rush. You know, the Rangers kind of collapsing low. It was a good chance. It was a good chance. I mean, they didn't have a ton of great chances.
No. They had a lot of shots.
The shots were from, you know, I thought from far out.
Yeah.
And with a lot of traffic, which sometimes is a good thing. But you weren't getting a ton of, you know, two-on-ones or anything like that.
No, you certainly weren't. And then Chris Kreider at the 16-14 mark of the third period gets the winning goal.
Mark Scheifele falls down below behind the red line, behind the goal line, excuse me.
Behind the Rangers goal line.
Yeah, behind the Rangers goal line. And Derek Stepan, who's on Scheifele, is able to quickly turn the puck up ice. He makes a pass, comes from Henrik Lundqvist's left to right behind the net, and Scheifele's down. And Stepan makes a pass. Stepan or Stepan? I always forget.
Yeah.
Stepan, we'll say. Stepan makes a pass to JT Miller, who's moving quick. JT Miller's moving quick. Chris Kreider comes from left, the red line, up the middle. And Miller, with speed, hits Kreider. Great pass.
In stride.
Great pass. And Kreider, who's an excellent skater, burns Dustin Byfuglien from left to right, gets the pass. Byfuglien kind of tries to back off at a second. He was beat. I mean, it was tough. You know, most guys would be beat by Kreider on the rush. Kreider goes around Byfuglien and then goes backhand goal. It's a gorgeous goal. Great transition, great speed, great execution. Do you want Byfuglien to back off there and nail him? Sure. Easier said than done, I think.
The speed kills.
Speed kills for sure. Yeah. And it's a tough break there, Scheifele. You know, guy goes down. It's kind of like a 5-on-4 breakout there without the adjustment for it.
Another disheartening loss for the Jets tonight. What I think
it's a tough one. Yeah.
It's a tough one. You know, if I'm a Jets fan or if I'm in the dressing room, what might be concerning me, and I know that, you know, now they have 4 days off before they play again Saturday afternoon against Vancouver, but there's no pushback. You know, there's still a lot of time. There's still over 3 minutes to play, 3 minutes, 45 seconds to play in the game after New York scores.
I wouldn't disagree with that. I thought it was kind of a lackadaisical last few minutes there.
Yeah. I think they were almost resigned to their effort, resigned to the result that they were going to lose another game late and by a goal or two goals with an empty net or whatever.
Be a bit discouraged by that, Drew. I just thought overall, I think the game really boils down to not taking advantage of the play in the first period and best players not being your best players. That's what I would pick as the two storylines. I mean, I thought the Scheifele line was ineffective. I thought Andrew Ladd played a kind of a... He made a couple of nice passes to Little. Should mention Little. He had two great scoring chances, I thought.
Yeah.
He's rusty, understandably so. Hasn't played, since March 4th? Is that it? Around there.
Yeah, certainly.
I'm not good at those dates.
Almost
about
3 weeks to a month from that.
Yeah. But, you know, and Ladd set him up a couple of times, but Ladd was sloppy in his own zone. And, you know, I didn't like even the top defenseman. Tyler Myers played that good of a game. I thought Enstrom was – the Rangers were using their speed on him. Byfuglien was fairly, I'd say
– innocuous for the most part.
Yeah, I think innocuous. Pavlik was whatever. He's fine. You know, the goals weren't – you could maybe say you have an issue with the second goal. The first goal, you can't really expect him there. The third goal is a breakaway. They seem to give up a lot of. Yeah. So, you know, overall, those would be the things. You know, your top players need to be your top player. It sounds so simple, but
when the game's
talk about the depth, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You need, and don't get me wrong. I mean, that's Scheifele line's been great. And Little Ladd haven't played together in a little bit. There's only five games left.
That's right.
So it doesn't matter.
No time for excuses.
Yeah.
You don't get a couple mulligans before they before you're officially out of the playoff race.
We'll break down the schedule more tomorrow. There's not much. We'll go over a little bit. Vancouver Saturday, then
Vancouver winning tonight in a shootout in Nashville.
Oh, they won.
They did. They battled. They were down 2-0 early. Second half of back to back for Vancouver. I think this pretty much makes them home. Pretty close to home free in the second spot in the Pacific Division.
Three games up on the Jets with equal games, right?
Yeah, they're now they have five games
and the
left.
Tiebreaker.
The tiebreaker, soft schedule.
Yeah,
you thought this was a make or break road trip for them, playing in St. Louis last night, and then Nashville.
Yeah,
and then I believe they have Chicago on Thursday. So this was a make or break for them, and they so far, you know, winning two out of those three, the back to back.
Well, they have a 5-point cushion on the Kings with the Kings having one game in hand, but 5-point cushion with five games remaining, and the tiebreaker, I believe, on the Kings.
They
should
play.
You should be home free.
They do play Los Angeles, but it would take a pretty significant collapse at this point for the Canucks. It looks like it's going to be the Jets, the Kings, and the Flames battling for the final two playoff spots in the Western Conference, and we'll know in about 12 days from now, Saturday, the 11th of April.
I mean, you're the Jets, you just need that to be, I mean, obvious statement. You need this to be a play-in game. You need it to be.
That's right.
And you need to be at least within 2 points. Otherwise, it's rendered useless. I mean, even with 2 points, you're putting yourself in a position where...
they got 3 days now.
You have to win a regulation, as you mentioned.
This will be interesting between now and Saturday when they play Vancouver, 2 o'clock start time here at MTS Center. Note the start time at the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on Saturday, 8 a.m.
Yep.
That'll be an interesting game. You'll see... You'll know on Saturday if the road trip's going to matter or not, I think.
I think it'll matter regardless, Drew.
Mathematically, yeah, yes. Yeah. But if you lose a third straight game on home ice after being off for 4 days.
Well, you mean if you lose on Saturday?
I'm saying you'll know on Saturday by the end of the game.
Before the game.
No,
oh,
no,
yes,
no.
Yes.
By the end of the game,
no,
Saturday.
If you lose on Saturday, put a fork on him.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it'll be a lot to talk about. We'll
you
be
can't
on
lose three killing games with 7 games to go.
No.
3 games to go.
Yeah, on home ice. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Lots to talk about tomorrow, NHL Midweek, 6 p.m.
Yeah.
On TSN 1290. We'll talk more about this game and everything else that's going on in the playoff races as we're down to the nitty-gritty. The playoffs start, I believe, 2 weeks.
It's Thursday, April 4th.
15th?
Yes, that's right.
Is it the Wednesday or the Thursday they start?
That's a Thursday.
Doesn't matter. We'll figure it out. We'll see if it matters.
Well, it matters anyways.
I know it matters anyways because the playoffs are great.
I'll watch any playoffs. I'll watch any hockey game.
I know. So we'll find out sooner rather than later.
The Kings-Blackhawks game was good last night, by the way.
That was. Yeah. Jonathan Quick wasn't, but the game was good. I mean, Scott Darling wasn't good. That first, the one goal the Kings scored was a real bad goal.
Save it for tomorrow. Remus wants to go shopping at Safeway.
I know. For analyst Richard Pollock, I'm your host and producer Michael Remus. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. There's audio from both the Jets and the Rangers dressing room, courtesy Dave Manuk and Ezra Ginsberg. Thanks for listening. This has been the Legal Curve postgame podcast.